I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 14. Sometimes members in the congregation might be asking, and you might be among them, what's a pastor doing preaching in Revelation anyway? But I have a purpose for doing that. It was picked out long before I knew that the events of the day would coalesce with Susan's passing and even with Laura's passing. But I want to read the first 13 verses of chapter 14 and encourage all of our hearts, I hope. Hear then God's word. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest. Day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Let's ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Father, we echo the words of the Apostle Peter. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord Jesus, you are the Holy One of God. Fill us. Fill us, Lord, you said in your own word, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. So we do ask of you, bless your word. You are worthy, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen. Well, it wouldn't come as any surprise to you when I say that the book of Revelation is often considered extremely difficult, riddled with mystery. There's all kinds of symbolism. A lot of people will use it to predict the future. This is what they do. But I want to do something here in these 13 verses that will help us set these 13 verses, I believe, in perspective for us. Ladies, if you have a diamond, you will know that the diamond is held in place with prongs. Whether you realize it or not, the reason that the diamond is held by prongs is the prongs are intended to let in the maximum amount of light to the brilliance of that particular diamond. And I got that from a jeweler. Okay. It's necessary to know some of the prongs, as it were, that hold the diamond of our passage here this morning, so that we don't misread the whole letter of Revelation. I'll just give you some of the prongs that hold the diamond in our passage here in chapter 14. I'll give you a few of them. One is right out of Revelation chapter 1. Jesus comes to John and he says, "This is what you're going to write. These are the things that are going to come to pass." And he says, "Grace to you." That's the first words out of the mouth of Jesus. Grace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Further in chapter 1, another prong. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Another prong. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death. I can go all the way to Revelation chapter 5, and verse 9, for example, the elders, the angels, they are singing a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. I can go all the way to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, you have these words, verse 11 and 12, or 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." Then we get to our passage, chapter 14, and right in the first five verses, you hear this word, you hear this voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. What is John pointing to? John is pointing to the central truth of the whole book of Revelation. The Lamb always wins. The Lamb is victorious. The Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. He rose from the grave. He's ascended up into heaven. The writer of Hebrews says he sits on the throne. His work is done. Here in these verses here, we see Jesus standing. But what do you do when you're in a place where you're either watching a baseball game or a football game or whatever it is, the World Cup, and you absolutely want to see what's going on? With anticipation, you know something big is coming. What do you do in the stands? Do you stay seated? You don't stay seated. Everybody gets up. They've got to see this. Jesus is standing. He is standing there. He is observing all that's going on. Why these prongs, dear ones? Why are these prongs holding up this diamond? Because what God is doing for you and for me, for those who got this word when it first came out, is to give every word of encouragement and comfort. So, Pastor, are you saying then that the word of judgment is a word of comfort? The answer is yes. Absolutely. So I'm going to give us 2 points this morning. I got 4 minutes for morning. This is going to go beyond 12 o'clock. I'm going to warn you. 2 major points to this whole thing. The first one is this. God's people are to be comforted by the judgment that will fall on all those who refuse to bow to Christ. That's what John is pointing out here. He's saying, take a look at the end. Take a look at what's coming with all of the troubles in the world. I want you to see this firsthand. The lamb becomes the lion, and he will have justice. Amen. Everybody has gone to school. You've been in grade school. You ever had a bully? Ever had a bully on the playground? You ever know what it's like to have a brother who's a couple years older than you? You know that he would stand up for you? What is it that you can say to the bully? My big brother is coming tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, that's what John is saying. Your big brother is coming, and he is going to take out vengeance. All the wrongs that have been done will be righted under his reign. So when we are reading about the judgment that is spelled out here for us in these verses, I want you to see that John is recording there is one eternal gospel. There's no other gospel. So everyone who is condemned under the judgment is fairly condemned. They refuse to admit Jesus Christ is Lord. They refuse to bow to Jesus. There is no one who is able to say, it's not my fault. And the comfort that comes to the people of God, the comfort that comes to the people of God here at New Sterling is this, that the day comes when justice will be meted out. Absolute justice will be meted out. Now, when people say there's no such thing as a final judgment, all you got to do is look in the scriptures. Look at the flood coming. God says that they're behaving sinfully. They're just not living as they ought to live. So I'm going to send a flood. He sends a warning man. He sends Noah, 120 years, every nail that he pounds into the ark. Judgment's coming, judgment's coming. If you don't listen, judgment's going to fall. You see the calling that we have as Christians? Judgment's coming. Then you have Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there's 50, if there's 25, Abraham is pleading with God. Judgment falls on Sodom and Gomorrah. Brothers and sisters, judgment can be avoided It may be, never mind. Judgment may be delayed, but it may never be avoided. Will never be avoided. And the greatest proof that we have of judgment that cannot be avoided is the judgment of God upon his own son at the cross. That's it. You think sin is serious? That's where you see it. It's in the cross. And our Lord Jesus was made sin, who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So rather than when we look at this passage here, there's another point that I'm going to leave with you. The point that John is making for us is that you need to recognize that God will have his due. And it's going to happen. God is coming. He'll come in final judgment. What an awful thing it is when it will occur for those who have not bowed the knee to Jesus. So how do we apply this from then? How do we apply this to now? Here's what I have down here for us. What do you think about the injustices that are being carried out into the world? Let's start big picture first. What about the injustices in the world against God's people? Sudan, Nigeria, North Korea, Afghanistan, China, Iran, countless other places. And the list can go on and on. Even our own country, where the law of God is overthrown time and time again. Does your heart break over the injustices that are occurring in our world? And if I bring it closer to home, how about injustices that have been done to you? How about injustices that have been done in your family? Are you bitter over those injustices? Are you, in a sense, crippled because of all the wrong that's been done to you or close to you? I want you to allow the brilliance of this diamond to shine. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will do right. So I told you I was going to give you 2 points. Here's your second point. The saints of God are called to endurance. You see it in the text, verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. We are saints because we have come to faith in Jesus and we have his righteousness. Yet obedience is the result of our believing. We don't obey in order to get to heaven. We obey because we're on the road to heaven. So obedience and faith go together. But look at, as John is writing this, think about those people who are receiving this letter for the first time. They don't know what's going to hold in the future. They may not even know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know if they're going to be separated from their families. They don't know if they're going to be killed for the sake of Jesus. What is John saying? John is saying to them, and he's saying to you and to me, press on. Press on in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's pressing for. And so you see, as Christians, we experience even the onslaught of Satan, do we not? We're true Christians. We know what it is for Satan to come after us. Sometimes he's as a swarm of drones. We know what it is to be tempted. The arch enemy comes, and sometimes we may feel that we're hanging on by our proverbial fingernails. But God comes to us here through John, and he said, here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Don't worry about it. Your big brother is coming. Press on in endurance. Dear ones, don't you find it difficult from time to time to continue on in obedience to the one who bought you? We may lose heart. We may have times that we lose heart. We get weary. We stumble. We halt. It's an old word, but we halt. And we wonder if we're going to be able to make it over the finish line. Don't you wonder sometimes when you look close to home and out in the world, the success of the Church of Jesus Christ? I remind you of the words of Jesus, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for I have overcome the world. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what is John calling us to do? John is calling you and I to do, to look beyond the grave with the eye of faith, when the shadows all flee away, when the day has broken. That's what John is calling you and me to do. Just like he says, and I didn't know that Susan was going to pass away yesterday. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That's a declaration from God himself. Blessed are the dead. That is God's declaration. And so these words come as extremely encouraging words. Do you notice their deeds, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them? Here's what I want to say to us. You may feel in your own heart sometimes, what's the use of my service? No one really seems to care. I do things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to love people for Christ's sake. I get nothing in return, except somebody maybe sometimes taking advantage of me, and I never even hear a thank you. But here's what we forget. God's payday is not every Friday. God calls us at this very minute, New Sterling Church, at this very minute to be faithful, never to allow the sins, the distractions, the enemies of God to bother us. We're to view the enemies of God as those for whom we should pray, to be sure, but be assured that God will have his day. I want to remind you of Matthew 25 with these words. Jesus remembers. Remember? Hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison. That hand given to a small child for the sake of Jesus. Mothers and fathers bringing up a child for God, denying yourself of so many other pleasures, lending a hand to a troubled young person, having a heart of compassion and helping when no one else is looking, speaking a word in season for Jesus' sake, being with a dying saint at their bedside, singing to that person or reading the word of God. Here's the words that come to us. Everything you have ever done for Christ, however small, will be revealed in that day for the entire world to see. How do we end here this morning or this afternoon? Brothers and sisters, it will be worth it all. Bear it in mind. It will be worth it all. Hear these words then. Here is a call. for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. May our faithful Savior be pleased to give his blessing to these words. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these words you give to us. Help us, we pray, by applying these things to us. We not only have heard them, but that we live out of them today and beyond. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.